Are you okay with us taking time to do that? Well, you got time for some words, some more word? Well, you get extra today, right? You got the scriptures in the front, and you get this, and so, but no extra charge. Yeah. Go to Romans, the 6th chapter, if you would, Romans 6. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Free from Sin. Free from sin. The world and even a lot of Christian groups kind of avoid that word nowadays. And people, you know, they no longer have sins, they have problems, issues. But sin is harsh. But sin is why the earth is full of death and curse. Sin is why Jesus had to come. It's why he had to go to the cross. Sin. And thank God, he is the solution for sin. Amen. And you'll find in the scriptures that we're told in this passage in Romans and others that we have been set free from sin. And we are not the servants of sin. But if that's so, why are so many Christians still in so much sin? Do you have to sin? Is it just something that's going to happen every day, no matter what? No. Jesus went his entire life and never sinned one time. He did it as a human being with no unfair advantage over us, showing it could be done. Now, all of us have sinned and come short. But the very reason you had to repent is because you could have done something different.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Right? Yeah. And so whatever has been the problem, it is gloriously possible and certainly God's will that you and I be completely free from sin. Everybody say free from sin. Now, in Romans, the 6th chapter, all of this is wonderful and good, but for time's sake, we'll just emphasize certain parts. Verse 1, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Since we're given grace, and we're in the age of grace, does it matter if we sin or not? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, the more you sin, the more grace. Verse 2, God forbid. No, that's wrong thinking. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, one of the best things you and I can do is agree with God. If he says something is true in our redemption, we need to say what he says, not what we feel or how it looks or what somebody else says. If he says we are dead to sin, what do we say? Come on, say it out loud. I am
dead to sin.
Now, you know, dead people, like we've talked about before, you can't tempt them. Right? You got a dead guy, dead woman laying in the casket. You know, maybe in their lifetime they had problem with drugs or alcohol or lying or stealing or having affairs or whatever. And you can flash all kind of money in front of them. No response. They're dead. You can display their favorite drugs or whatever and not even a wince, no movement, dead.
Right?
You can't tempt dead people. And the Bible tells us that we are dead to sin. So whether you understand it or not, agree with God. Come on, say it out loud. I am Dead
to sin.
He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And this is what I got on my heart for this morning. Being born again involves believing two big things. Not one. Two big things. Do you remember what they are? Okay, that's all right. Go to chapter 10. Hold your place there in chapter 6. All this goes together. This wasn't written in chapter and verse. It all flows together. Romans 10 and 9. Romans 10, 9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and, everybody say and, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Not one thing, two things. Y'all with me? Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's two things, and you do it with two parts of your being, heart and mouth. Now notice the thing he emphasized, what, verse 9, what do you have to believe? You got to believe that God has done what? Raised him from the dead. So if somebody says, well, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe in all Jesus' moral teachings, but I can't really go along with that resurrection from the dead. Well, they're not a Christian. They're not saved. No. You have to believe that God has raised him from the dead. Why do you have to believe that? What is the big issue about that? Go back to the 6th chapter, please. Chapter 6. He said, verse 4, we're buried with him by baptism into death. That's the first thing. Yep. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. By the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, one thing, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You'll find that there's been time spent on the death, on the cross, but not enough time spent on the resurrection. People believe it, but don't emphasize it. And don't emphasize how it impacts us. They're thinking more about how it affected him. Y'all with me so far? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? So here's another great phrase. We're dead to sin. And what else? We're free from sin. Now, faith calls those things that be not as though they were. So even if you messed up big time this week, it's all the more reason why you need to say, I'm dead to sin. I'm free from sin. Come on, I want to hear you say it out loud. I'm dead to sin. I'm free from sin. Now see, the enemy will immediately jump on your shoulder and go, you lying rascal. You know what you did. You know what you did just yesterday. You know. You say, shut up and get out of here. The work of Christ is true. And if he said it, that's how it is. Yes. And I'm agreeing with Him.
That's right.
And I'm dead to sin.
That's right.
And I'm free from sin.
Yes.
See, the enemy wants you to say, I can't quit.
Yeah.
And if you say that and believe that, you are stuck. And you won't get free. You won't come out. Because like Jesus said, by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned or called guilty. By your words. By your words. What are you saying? What are you saying? I'm dead to sin. I'm free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Two things. Dead with Him, raised with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over Him. I mean, once you die, you can't die. You already done did die. Huh? In that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. Now the word reckon reveals that it's not going to necessarily look like it. Or feel like it. That's why you have to count it that way. Reckon is an accounting term. You account it that way. You reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, here's these two things. Death and resurrection. We got to believe both of these. And we should be believing the Lord for more revelation about what it means for us. Because the Lord didn't do either one of those for Himself. He didn't need to do either one of those for Himself. He died for us. And He was raised for us. Oh, somebody say for me. He died for me. He was raised for me. And what initiated this? Sin. Sin. The wages of sin is death. And then the judgment that comes. Keep reading. Let not sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We were lost. We had as our Lord the devil. And all that goes with that. But now that we are born again, we got a new Lord. Huh? And we owe the old one nothing. Huh? And we are not his servants. And so we are not servants to sin.
No. That's good. Yes, sir.
Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Come on, sit out loud real strong. Say, I'm dead to sin.
I'm dead to sin.
I'm free from sin.
And sin, and
sin
shall not
have dominion over me. It doesn't rule over me. It doesn't dominate me. I'm free from it. Free from it. In John 8, we saw this last time, that where he says, you know, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He's talking about this. He had just got the, he said right in the middle of that, he that yields to sin is the servant of sin. People who are, you know, embroiled in all this wrong stuff, they're not free to do that. They're slaves to it, whether they admit it or not. When you get free, you quit doing it. Somebody say, I'm free, I'm free. Now back up to the fourth chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 4, he's talking about Abraham and mentioning him as the example for us, for our faith, and for the same thing that happened to him happens to us by our faith. Verse 22, Romans 4:22, it was imputed to him, to Abraham, for righteousness, and that is his faith, his believing God. He became righteous by his faith. How do we become righteous today? Exactly the same way, by our faith. Verse 23, now it was not written for his sake alone, that's what we just said, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, what shall be imputed? Righteousness. If we believe on him that what? That raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now get this. Get this verse. And get this in your mouth. He was delivered for our offenses. That's our sin. And he died for that. Is that the end of the story? Oh no. And he was what?
Raised.
He was what?
Raised.
Raised for our sins.
No.
No. No. That's why he died.
That's right.
Y'all with me or not? He died for our sins. And sadly, that's where a lot of Christians stop. That's where it stops. And even you hear people saying, you know, keep me at the cross. Keep me at the cross. The cross is not the end of the story. See, that sounds like a noble thing, but you're cutting off the height of the gospel. He died for my sins. He was delivered up. He was offered up as the final sacrifice to pay for my sins. First thing. Right? Help me out. Second thing. He was what? He was raised. Put the verse up there, please. He was raised again. What did that result in? Justification. What is justification? Justification means to be made innocent, to be made right, to be made, you know, accepted. And you'll find this word numerous places in the New Testament. Justified, just, justification. A lot of people believe that God will forgive their sins. But they don't yet believe that they are clean, and when God sees them, they're innocent.
Yeah, that's so good.
And justified. That they are, when God sees you, he sees right. Just. Holy. Hmm? That's what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Say it out loud. He was delivered for my offenses. Now that's the same idea as your sins. And what else? And he was raised for my justification. Was he raised? Was he raised? Is he alive? What does that mean? It means I, because I believe on him, and you, because you believe on him, I am completely innocent from all of my sins and failures. I am counted righteous and just and good in His sight. And it's not because of my performance. It's because Jesus raised from the dead to accomplish it. Oh, somebody say glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to the book of Revelation, please. This, what we're talking about now, is a big part of the New Testament. When you know what to look for, you will see it. Revelation chapter 1, you'll see it in these epistles coming and going. Identification, justification, redemption, and the death and burial and going to the heart of the earth, that paid for our sins. But if that's the end of it, I'm a forgiven sinner. Which is what a lot of people believe. Right? And you'll hear a lot of people say, well, we're all just broken people. Would that be because God can't heal you? Or you won't receive it? See, the enemy is continually trying to minister some form of condemnation and shame and guilt. And many have twisted it around and think that it's some kind of a humility. But it's actually denying one of the greatest parts of the gospel. You're forgiven. Hallelujah. But you're more than forgiven. There's an and after the forgiven. Y'all gonna help me preach this or not? There's an and. Huh? He was offered up for my sins and failures. And. Y'all gonna help me with this or not? And He was raised for what? To make me innocent.
That's right.
To make me just and right and clean and holy and acceptable in His eyes.
Yeah.
And it's what He sees that counts more than anybody else. How does God see me? Now, if you listen to the devil, he'll tell you, you know, thank God He's merciful. Because you are a poor, pitiful excuse for a Christian. Huh? You are forgiven, we hope. Make heaven, we hope. No, see, that's stopping at the cross.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Not going on to the resurrection. In Revelation 1, are you there? Verse 4. Revelation 1, 4. John to the seven churches, grace to you, peace from Him which is, which was to come, is to come. Skip to verse 5. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, not only begotten, first begotten now. That means there's a second begotten, third begotten, 8,943rd begotten, and your name's in there somewhere, my name's in there somewhere, begotten of the dead. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. What kings is He talking about? He's about to tell us. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Period?
No.
No. Comma.
That's right.
Tell me what the next word is.
And.
And. He washed us. Is that the end of the story? No. And He's made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. He made us. How do we have the right to be this? At the holy throne of God and in the holy eternal kingdom. How do you and I qualify for this? That's what He accomplished when He raised from the dead. We are more than forgiven. We are made clean, made innocent, to the point where God can use us as His own children, just like Jesus. We are joint heirs with Him. How could that be possible? That's what happened when He was raised from the dead. By the glory of God. And that's what happened when we were born again, when we believed it. Child of God, we must go beyond believing we're forgiven.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
We must go beyond just, you know, looking at the cross only and saying, thank God, yeah, He hung there, He was judged, He died for my sins, He paid for my sins. Yes, if He hadn't done that, it wouldn't be anything to follow. But was that the end?
No, sir.
I said, was that the end? It was not the end.
No, sir.
And He was raised. Not to pay for my sins. He did that at the cross. He was raised to make me holy. To make me and you just and clean and innocent in His sight and righteous in His sight, so that He qualified us to be His very own sons and daughters in His family. This is way beyond an angel. And to rule and reign with Him as kings in His eternal kingdom. Somebody say, He loved me. He washed me from my sins in His own blood. And big and, big tall A. And He made me a king and a priest unto God and the Father. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. 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 Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. This is not based on what we do. He did this for you before you were born.
Thank you.
And before I was born. You got a little bit more time, but go to Romans 5. Maybe we'll wind it up with this. In your going forward reading, especially in the New Testament now in the epistles, look for this word, justified. Look for it. And every time that you see it, let it be a connection in your mind with the resurrection.
That's good.
With the resurrection. Now, Romans, and you'll notice a lot of this is in Romans. Romans 5 and 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We had no strength or ability to save ourselves or to cleanse ourselves. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die. But God commends, or God demonstrated, He showed His love toward us. Why? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Tell me what else? What else happened? And He was raised, right? For us. Now, much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Here's the thing. He saw you. He knew you way better than you'll ever know yourself. He knew all the junk you would do. And chose you anyway. Before you were born. Because He also knew you'd believe on Him. And you'd repent. And you were willing to listen to Him. And let Him be Lord over your life. Based on His foreknowledge, He chose you, preordained you, justified you, and in His mind, already glorified you. That's Romans 8. Does it do anything for you? You might say, well, if I could be good. He already did it. He already did it before you drew your first breath, silly. He already did it. Now, you still got to receive it. You still got to believe it. You still got to receive it. But this idea about, you know, me getting good enough to be used of God and be, He already decided that before you were born. He saw you in all of your... Can't really say glory, but and all my, and yet He saw He could get us to glory. Hallelujah. And so He went ahead and put every sin that you would ever commit on Jesus. And He paid for it. Then He raised Him from the dead. For you're in my total, complete justification from all of it. So that we, in the end, we wind up qualified to be right next to Him in the Holy of Holies and eternal glory. We should say, thank you, Lord, every hour or so. Is that right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for justifying me. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we'll be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we'll be saved by His life. And He talks about that. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. Now we've been raised up with Him and made to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think we ought to read it. I quoted it, but go to Ephesians, the second chapter. If that's new to you and you think, well, where did he come up with that? Good question. Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 1, you has He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. That's the devil and his crowd, among whom we all had our conversation, our way of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In Romans, he said, while we were his enemies, he did that for us. But God. Have you ever shouted about but God? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Come on, you got to stop here for just a minute. He saw you at your worst.
Yep.
With no time for him as his enemy, and he loved you then. That's why it says, how much more then are we going to miss all the wrath now that we're actually his?
Yeah.
And we're choosing to follow him. God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he says it again to remind you. We weren't giving God warm feelings. We weren't doing anything for him. It was all on his side. He saw something in us we didn't see. And he cared about us. And he quickened us together with Christ. What does that mean? When he was raised, we were raised. When he went to the cross, when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. That's why we have water baptism. It portrays that graphically. That's why sprinkling doesn't cover it. Huh? Jesus wasn't sprinkled. He died. He's put in the grave. He went down. Oh, but when judgment was satisfied, at the end of the third day, oh, hallelujah, he was raised up by the glory of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. And when he was raised, we were raised free from sin, free from death, free from shame and being spotted and stained and disqualified. Raised up. Keep reading. Raised us up together. And where do we get to sit? Where? How many know if you could sit in row 1,000 in the nosebleed section around the throne, you would be a blessed individual? Is that right? I mean, to be anywhere around the throne. But no, he wanted us right there. Woo! With him, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is one of the reasons our body has to be changed from corruptible to incorruptible, because in its current condition, we couldn't take this in the throne room. Throne room's too holy. God's too holy. But God has already done this to our spirit and our inner man. And then later on, he's going to cause the glory to go through our body so that it is made incorruptible and glorious. And we can come right up to the throne of God. Hallelujah. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Quit singing about the little log cabin in the corner of Glory Land. That's not what Jesus did when he raised from the dead. He got you a front row seat. And he set us on a course to be forever family with the Father in him.
Thank you.
And kings and priests unto our God. Yeah, you're forgiven.
Yes.
And you're a king.
Yes.
And a priest. Holy. By the blood, by the resurrection. Stand on your feet, everybody, before I get going again. Stand. Is it something to get going about? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Lift your thanks.